Welcome, I'm Anna Jinja, your host of The Anna Jinja Show. I'm an international adoptee, an adoptee who has experienced the pain of rejection and the peace that comes with self-discovery and acceptance. Along the way, I've discovered that I'm not alone. In some ways, we are all adopted into or out of homes, cultures, communities, and relationships as we grow and evolve. These experiences create who we are and who we are yet to be. So let's discover how we can be and become our best selves by connecting to the guests and creative content cradled in the belief that we belong, that we are worthy, and that we are loved in this world. Stay tuned and you may discover your own adoption story. Our guest today is Amanda Asalon Cho, who was born in Seoul, South Korea, and adopted into a white family in Tulsa, Oklahoma. She always believed that she was given up for adoption because her birth mother was young and could not financially raise a child. Amanda never intended to search for a family and always wished them well. So when she received an email saying they had been found, she quickly learned the truth. Her story had been fabricated, and she was given up for adoption because she was not a boy. Amanda currently resides in Atlanta, Georgia, and looks back at each moment in her life happening for a reason. She is not filled with any regrets and is thankful to be surrounded by the Korean-American and Korean-American adoptee community in Atlanta. As she continues to learn to live life for herself and not others, she hopes to embrace her identity more and more. I love that so much. So welcome, Amanda.
Yes. Hi, Anna. Thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to join you today.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So before I ask you a question and we dive into this, what do you think our listeners should know about you?
Wow. I think that you summarized me pretty well. I think that's the latest thing that's really happening in my life right now is just dealing with the reunion and getting to know my family more. In Korea, I've only physically been with them twice since meeting them or learning about them in 2019. So that's really a lot of what's going on in my life is just trying to reconnect with my family and roots in Korea.
That's a big one. Well, I found this to lead off our conversation. I found the synopsis of the book titled The Power of Truth by William George Jordan and wanted to tie it into our discussion. And the synopsis reads as this: truth is the rock foundation of every character, of every great character. It is loyalty to the right as we see it. It is courageous living of our lives in harmony with our ideals. It is always power. Truth ever defies full definition. Like electricity, it can only be explained by noting its manifestation. It is a compass of the soul, the guardian of conscience, the final touchstone of right. Truth is a revelation of the ideal, but it also is an inspiration to realize that ideal, a constant impulse to live it. And I love that so much about pursuing truth, because you talk about that when I've been listening to your podcast and reading some of your material. So tell us, why do you think truth is important?
Well, why do I think truth? I mean, I think everything that you just said, I 100% agree with all of it and relate to it. I mean, I just feel like truth is just, it's like, it's what everybody values, everybody wants. The opposite of it is just, I don't know, without truth, you're just kind of stumbling around and life is just, will just get harder and harder, you know. Why do I think it's, I mean, I just feel like that is what we all desire and we all need to just live life to its fullest is with truth.
Yeah. Well, and I think your story is interesting and mine as I explored as well, mm-hmm. is about finding our most authentic self and finding mm-hmm. those bits of truth to help us be our most authentic self. And so it's interesting that you always believe that you're given up for adoption. And the same story was told to me, that my birth mother was young and that she couldn't financially support me. And so I have nothing to counter that. So that is my truth for right now. But you came to find out the real reason that you were adopted is that you were not a boy. And so how did finding out that truth change your life, or did it?
Yeah, no. And like, similar to you, you know, for 40 years, that was like my truth, was just thinking my mom, you know, gave me up because she was young and financially could not raise me. And I just wished her well. But then finding out that my family, you know, was actually a very well affluent family in Korea with, you know, five older sisters. Yeah, I think I'm still processing it and dealing with that. I think because I am in a good place in my life and I feel like I've been very fortunate and, you know, lucky to live the life that I've, you know, lived, I think that I can deal with this, you know, in a positive way and move forward. But yeah, you know, I do have those moments where I'm like, what in the world, you know, like, why, you know, I do question it. I think just anyone naturally would, you know, I try not to spend a lot of time, you know, with what if, you know, what if, you know, I was a boy or what, you know, what if they didn't give me up? I try not to do that. And I just think moving forward that, you know, I've been very blessed in my life and, you know, to have this opportunity now to be a part of my birth family's lives and to get to know them, I'm really focused more on that. And that's kind of what's keeping me going. You know, I do still have a lot of questions. I think I always will have a lot of questions. And I know that, you know, my sisters can't answer those questions. And I know that, you know, they probably, you know, well, they don't know everything either because they were also very young, you know, when I was given up for adoption too. So they don't really know everything. But, you know, I think what's keeping me going is I just stay positive and I just, you know, remind myself that I'm lucky that I have this opportunity.
So let me ask you, so you just shared that you don't go through the scenarios, what if I were a boy, mm-hmm. what would my life look like? Can you tell us a little bit more, why do you not do that? Or what happens if you do go down that path?
Yeah, I think that that's kind of just the way I have just been from the beginning is I tend to be more of an optimistic, forward-looking person. I don't tend to dwell on stuff that I can't change. So, you know, I could sit there and I could think of and what ifs and I, you know, I think it would take me to a dark place. I think a lot of the times people who do that a lot do end up, you know, in a dark place, you know, it's kind of like, I think I feel that doing that isn't going to change anything, because I can't go back and change anything. So, I just try to, you know, look at what I can control and change. And that's like how I deal with this and making the best of it, is what I do, you know, try to do. But yeah, I mean, there are those moments when I do, you know, kind of get a little sad because I'll see pictures of my birth sisters growing up together. And, you know, I see them doing fun stuff in Korea, you know, all the time. And I am like, okay, you know, I missed out on that or I could be there. But I think that, you know, that's natural. I talk to people about it. And I'm really fortunate to have a great adoptee community around me who, you know, they've been through similar situations. I do have several Korean adoptee friends who also are in reunion with their family, and they kind of feel and go through the same stuff that I'm going through. So I do talk to them about it, and I think that's really helpful. And, you know, I also like, you know, have a Korean American family that I've married into. And so I think that doing stuff that's Korean with them is helping me a lot. And I'm learning a lot through that. And I'm just kind of just making my own Korean American life, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm.
And so the story that you were told, who told you this story?
Yeah, so that was in the paperwork, the adoption paperwork that I went through Dylan International and Eastern Welfare Society, which is the Korean adoption agency. And they write that in your paperwork. And that's the paperwork that's given to your parents. And we all found out that that's usually not true. It's not true. I'm not going to say usually. I don't know anyone who's had that information, who've reunited with their parents or birth family, that has been true. And I've also heard, you know, stories that there were creative writers or like college student volunteers who would write those stories. And yeah, that's the story that they gave to our parents, our adoptive parents, so that they would want to adopt us or that they would feel better about adopting us, if that makes sense. So,
oh, it makes complete sense. And I think I shared with you, when I started to explore my own adoption story well into my late 40s, and I would meet these other international adoptees from the same agency, and I would say, so tell me about your origin story. And they would tell me the story that I was put in a box, I was clothed, and I was put in the path of a social worker to be found with a note. And so as I heard about 15 of these stories, I thought, there's no way that my story is exactly the same as these 14 other women about the same age as me. And so it did start to question, how did that come to be, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And so what I'm hearing you say is that you've discovered that the stories that they put in the adoption paperwork, and the other interesting thing, Amanda, is that when people would ask me, do you want to search for your biological parents? I would say, no, I have closure. I know that the note, I think I know what happened. My biological mother was too young. She couldn't, and I'd made up this false narrative, I'm guessing, that she was this teenager that got pregnant and had to do something, but loved me enough to be able to put me in a box and make sure that I was found by somebody to be taken care of. So that story is so interesting to me when we had this conversation, that there were college students writing these origin stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is stuff that I've been told, by other people who've studied this, Korean adoption and stuff. I mean, I don't know, for a fact if that's true, but I do know that those stories were fabricated, because actually the social worker who connected me with my birth family told me, and I do know this because she told me that, we told you that story because we wanted you to feel good about being adopted, and that story just makes more sense than you were given up because you weren't a boy, or that just makes you feel better than the truth. So, there's it's either you were given up because your parents couldn't afford you, or they were too young, or you're abandoned somewhere. That's another story that, everyone, a lot of adoptees have in their paperwork, is that they were abandoned, on the courthouse steps or at the hospital or in front of the library or something. And, the joke is among the adoptee community is back then there must have been a lot of abandoned babies all over Korea because, that just doesn't make sense. So, yeah, I think when we all started questioning it and finding out the truth, that's when I think what kind of ultimately pushed me to fill out the paperwork to find out, if I could find out more about my background and my birth family.
Do you find that the adoptees are angry when they find out that their stories have been fabricated?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think there's a little bit of every type of emotion that adoptees feel about it. I think they're also kind of not surprised either, because yeah, I mean, I wasn't that surprised when they told me. I mean, I was surprised to hear about my birth family's real story, but I wasn't surprised to hear that the stuff in my file wasn't true, So, I definitely do feel like there's some people who are angry for sure when they find out that it's, because I think it's also, as an adoptee, we feel like we have the right as a person to know the true story of our background, and that's taken away from us. So yeah, how can you not feel a little bit angry about that?
Yeah, or befuddled. Yeah. I think it's sort of your story, as I'm thinking about adoption, your first story begins with abandonment to some extent, and then you add a lie to it. That's a lot to process, I think.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So you were able to find your biological family. So tell us a little bit how that experience impacted you.
How has it impacted me? Oh, wow. It's been a lot. I definitely feel more connected to being Korean now than I did before, because I do have family there. I have started to try to learn the Korean language. In fact, I will start a new class actually on Monday. and because I want to be able to communicate with my sisters, And I've learned more about my medical history because my, you know, I know now, like, my father passed away a year before I reunited with them from heart issues and a heart attack. So I do know that, you know, genetically, I could have that same type of heart issue as I get older. My mom, my biological mom, is in a nursing home with Alzheimer's right now. And so I also know that, you know, that's in my family too. So yeah, so that I've become more aware of Alzheimer's and heart issues and stuff since I've met them. I definitely want to communicate with my family, so I'm like very focused on trying to learn more Korean so that I can. I watch a lot of Korean dramas, a lot of the historical ones, because I want to learn about the history of Korea that I, you know, don't know or I wasn't educated about growing up. And you know, there is kind of a little part of me who watches these dramas and you're like, oh, or I'm thinking, oh, okay, so this is what was going on at this time, you know, and if I was living there, you know, that's probably what I would have experienced too. So, yeah, so maybe I guess that's a little bit of the, like, going back and, you know, I'm thinking, oh, what if, you know, I was there, I would have been there for that too. Because I do know that my family also grew up, or my sisters were raised in Seoul. So I know that everything that happened in Seoul is what they experience. Yeah, and like right now I'm watching the Reply series, like Reply 1988, Reply 1994. And it has a lot of historical events during those times, which is the times when I grew up.
Yeah, that stings when I feel like, doesn't seem that long ago, but oh my gosh, yes, it is that long ago, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yikes. Well, I wanted to ask too, so I asked you about how finding your biological parents impacted you. How did it impact your adopted parents?
Yeah, my adoptive parents have been very supportive. My parents are divorced. My mom and I are definitely closer. She came back to Korea with me in October for a Korean gathering that the Overseas Korean Foundation sponsored. And she met my birth sister. So she actually got to meet them. She didn't get to meet my birth mother because at the time, due to COVID, they weren't allowing us to visit the nursing home. But she did get to meet my sisters. And so that was a really special experience for her and me to be there to introduce, you know, her to them. She's been very supportive. My adoptive father has been supportive. He's a little bit more quiet and reserved about it. But he's supportive. I mean, he's not outright speaking, you know, about or asking. He doesn't come out and ask about it a lot, but he'll listen to me and, you know, when I talk about it. But yeah, I mean, so yeah, I've been very lucky in that sense that they've been pretty supportive.
And do you think that's because they understand or you've had discussions about how finding the truth and about finding your biological parent doesn't negate or diminish the love that you have for your adopted parents and family?
Well, we never really had those discussions. I think that they just feel that way anyways. Or, I mean, I guess I just feel like they feel like that. My mom has been pretty open with me that she, you know, was, you know, is all for us, like, looking and meeting, you know. She kind of has the attitude, why wouldn't you want to know? So I know that she feels that it's not, you know, diminishing, like, her being the parent or anything like that. But, you know, I don't really know about how my father feels about that. Maybe he does have a little bit kind of some feelings about that, but he hasn't expressed that to me. Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like he's 100% on board with it all, but I think he's accepted it and he's okay with it, if that makes sense. Like, I think there is a little bit of, maybe he's a little uncomfortable about it just because he doesn't talk openly about it, but I'm just taking it as he's supporting me, and yeah.
Yeah, and it makes sense because he's your dad, a parental figure, and that mm-hmm. he loves you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
And supportive of your journey and who you're meant to be in this world. That's the job of a parent, ultimately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do think through time it's gotten I think at first he was like kind of shocked. And I think that's with most parents, like when, you know, they're not expecting it and you throw this bomb on them. Oh, I like found my birth family. I'm going to go meet them. You know, I think that it just took him a little bit longer to get comfortable with it than my mom.
Sure. I understand that. Well, if you're just joining us and you're wondering, what are we talking about and who are we talking to? Well, you're listening to The Anna Jinja Show, and our guest is Amanda Asalone Cho. And I'm going to move to the next segment, which our music producer, Nick Kazerner, selected a song about the gaps and misunderstandings in relationships, i.e. accepting the present moment and reality while searching for the truth. And Nick felt that this song is much harder hitting than other ones that he's done for us before. So he said he would only send it if I thought that the lyrics worked. And I said it did. But let's give it a listen and hear what you think about this song, Amanda, and the listeners too, whether or not this song is connected to Amanda's story and the themes that we're discussing today. So here is Every Moment. Just heard Every Moment, one of Nick Kazernis' songs that he selected for you, Amanda. Now, Nick thought that this might be a bit, in his words, harder hitting than other songs he has selected for the show, and wondered if the lyrics worked for our conversation. So what do you think?
Yeah, no, thinking about adoption and truth, this song definitely fits with our conversation and in a lot of what I've been through as an adoptee. Like just listening to it and thinking about like the first like 40 years of my life, whenever people would ask me, you know, questions about my adoption, I think we can all relate to this who are adopted, is it's like almost like I give them a script. Like I had a script in my mind to tell them that, yeah, no, I don't know my birth family. I've never looked for my birth family. I don't speak the language. You know, I don't know, you know, this is, you know, all I know is that my mom was young and couldn't afford to keep me. You know, I think that is like kind of what I thought of is just how I would just say that over and over and over again to people who would ask. And it was frustrating, you know, because it kind of does make you like want to know, you know, in a way, like, you know, why was I adopted, or, more about my adoption.
And I think there are no right or wrong answers, too, mm-hmm. as far as even if you didn't like the song. But I love your interaction with Nick's lyrics, and I think that the song was beautiful. So thank you so much, Nick, for selecting that song for Amanda. You mentioned that it's common for adoptees born in the 70s and 80s to explore their Asian roots in their 30s, and you gave a couple of reasons why this is the case. So for our listeners, would you mind sharing that these reasons with our listeners, why in their 30s? For me, I mean, I've just turned 50, so I'm a slow developer, I guess. Why do you think this is?
Yeah, I think I shared something. Usually it's like, when you reach your 30s or 40s, you've kind of accomplished everything in life that you feel like you were wanting to accomplish. Like you finished your schooling, your education, you've maybe settled into your career, you've probably gotten married and started having children. That could be, that's usually a lot of, I think a big reason why a lot of people don't really start exploring their identity more and their background until they're in their 30s, because I think they're finally at a place where they can like breathe a little bit because they feel like they've accomplished a lot. It also has to do with a lot, usually there's like big events that have happened in your life, and usually in your 30s, that's like you've had maybe children and you want to know more about your history and roots for your children's sake. Maybe you've had family members pass away and it's kind of made you think more about, life and the meaning of your life and your life. Or you've, gotten a divorce, and you're starting over and I think that's something I relate to a lot, is what pushed me to maybe be more interested in my Korean adoption identity.
Thank you, Amanda, for spending time with us to share your story, wisdom, and resources. So very much appreciated. You're incredibly lovely, and I'm glad that we had this time together. Thank you to Adam Rich with WOUB for engineering and editing today's program. Our subject matter expert is Dr. Melissa Rizzo, and our storytelling producer and engineer is Zoe Lambert. Our creative and editing team includes Maddie, Maya, Alexa, Linnea, and Mark. And our music producer is the fabulous Nick Kazernis, who has been writing genre-twisting songs for over 30 years, including this show's theme song, Wait to Me, and who selected the song for Amanda in her story today. And I am your host, Anna Jinja, signing off with a reminder that the key to unlocking all things good in this world is love. Here, you are loved, and you are home. Always a friend and fan, this is Anna Jinja wishing you days filled with love, laughter, and peace.